Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. We're going to be doing an episode today on God commands us to be meeting in houses. And no longer these church buildings. Now, previously, we just did an episode titled, Are You the Temple of the Lord? We went through, we looked at scripture, how God says his desire is not to dwell in buildings made of man. But in the saints, inside of us, by his spirit dwelling inside of us, that we are now the new temple, that Christ did away with the old building of man, destroyed it, and established his body and all those who are grafted in and born of the Spirit of God to now be the living temple or house of the Lord. So now you might ask yourself, well, then where were people meeting? Did they still continue to meet in the traditional, quote, house of the Lord or temple buildings? Or did they not? In this episode, we're going to go through and look at the book of the New Testament and examples of where the people met. They were not burdened with maintaining a building. The focus was fellowship, meeting constantly, breaking bread, eating together, living in each other's homes as they fellowshiped. And that is what we will see as we go through many passages from the book of Acts, as well as other books. Let us open in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it gives us insight and instruction and examples of how the people did meet. And we're going to see that they did meet from house to house. There are no examples of them after Pentecost going and maintaining church buildings. No, that was those of the false church. Many of the Jews who thought they believed in God were convinced in their mind, but yet they were not of you. As a matter of fact, your son called them the synagogue of Satan, even though in their mind they were convinced they're servants of God. Father, I command evil to flee. I pray that your spirit give people eyes to hear, or eyes to see and ears to hear, that they may understand and see the truth in your word. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, again, we're going to look at examples of how and where the people met. After this episode, the next one I'm going to do, which I plan on doing today, is to go through the discussion of what does the Bible say is a synagogue of Satan? You may be surprised, but it's actually many of those who preach Christ, preach the gospel, and preach the Holy Spirit. And we'll go through that next. But for now, turn with me. We'll start in the book of Acts. Starting in Acts chapter 2. So Jesus gave the disciples instructions not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait until the Holy Spirit was to be given to them, because it had not yet been poured out. We did a good episode on don't be like the disciples before they receive the Holy Spirit. That's a good one to listen to if you haven't. But let's go ahead and look at the examples of where were they meeting? Where were they gathering? You see, the established church was against the truth. So in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so here you have an example of again, it's where were they meeting? Well, they're meeting in a house. Even backing up before that, I meant to have another one here, and I just realized I missed it. But in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had ascended, they returned to Jerusalem in verse 12, and they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day journey away. Verse 13, when they had entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 15, at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons was there together. And he said, and he went on and they talked about how they had to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus as one of the 12 to occupy his ministry of apostleship. So when you look at that, you know, they were meeting in homes or in other rooms of certain homes. In this case, they had 120 people there. And they were continually meeting, as it said. Again, later in chapter 2, Pentecost, which was like 40 days later. So during that time, it sounded like they continued to meet over those 40 days continuously in prayer. And then again, when they were meeting together in the house, the Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. So I pray that you guys are seeing this. As we continue, let me just write that down, Acts chapter 1, so I can add that to the notes. All right, chapter 2, I want to turn over to verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And these were those who were baptized. You know, the verse before in verse 41 says there were about 3,000 souls added. And again, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They weren't going to have fellowship at the temple, the regular temple. Those are called the synagogue of Satan. And again, that'll be the next episode. No, they were fellowshipping in the breaking of bread in prayer. Where do you think they were breaking bread at? In people's homes. Verse 43, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And when all those who had believed were together, and all had all, and they had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them as anyone might have need. Verse 46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and they were taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of their heart. Now, there are a few instances where it talks about they were continuing and they went in the temple. When you go and you read those examples, when they went to the temple, they were going up to correct the people, to refute the religious leaders because they weren't a part of them. And they were the ones that were persecuting them and throwing them in jail as you go through and read the book of Acts. But from the standpoint of evangelizing, they were going into the temple to evangelize people and tell them that they were wrong. And otherwise, they were breaking bread from house to house as they were eating together with sincerity of heart. So again, you have another example of how they were meeting and gathering. As we continue going through Acts, looking at other passages in chapter 5, and this is after they were flogged by the Jewish leaders because they were angry with what they were saying. They told them that they were not to speak in the name of Jesus. Verse 40, it says they took his advice. This was Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, Pharisee. And after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing, because they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day they went in the temple, and from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so, again, they continued to go to the temples, as Jesus said, go to the Jews first. But it was the temples that they were suffering. They were suffering at the hand of the wicked church. But they were breaking bread and fellowshipping from house to house. And so that's just another example as we continue to go through and look at how they were fellowshipping and where they went. In Acts chapter 8, now we know that Paul was going and there was a great persecution. In verse 1 of chapter 8, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and this was Stephen. On that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. Verse 3. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. And he would put them in prison. So again, he was going house to house because that's where they were meeting. You know, occasionally the leaders would go to the temple to refute and to make sure the rest of the people heard the truth that were in these false churches. But they were being thrown in prison and they were persecuting them. But the rest of them, as the body of Christ, they were meeting house to house. And so when Saul, before God changed him and his name was turned to Paul as the apostle, where would he go find all the believers? Well, he would find them in their houses where they were meeting. As it says in chapter 8, as you read verse 1 through 3. For Cornelius, when Peter went to Cornelius, he didn't go to the local church, some building, the synagogue, to find truth. No. No, God met him where he was, and he said, have Peter go to your house. And so when they all gathered, they did not gather and go to some local church building. They went to his house. And so here, when you, in chapter 10, verse 22, it says, then Cornelius, a centurion, or they said, this is when they went to Peter, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, and a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear a message from you. And so, again, when you look at this, God did not tell them to go and go to a local church building. No, at the house. Verse 24, on the following day, he entered Caesarea, and this was Peter, and now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. And they were, again, because they were all gathered at his house. And that's when Peter ends up telling him the rest of this, you know, the gospel story, and they all received the Holy Spirit. And that's when Peter realized that the Holy Spirit would also be poured out onto Gentiles. All right, next I want to go and look at Acts chapter 12. And Acts chapter 12. We're going to, so this was in this one, in chapter 12, this was when Peter was seized and they were planning on putting him to death. They just put James, the brother of John, to death with the sword. And this was Herod, the king. And this was in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then they went and they arrested Peter in verse 3, and they put him into the prison, and he was kept there. In verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. Guards in front of the door were watching over the prison, and behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. A light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and his chains fell off. An angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. But when they passed through the first and second guard, they came to the iron gates that lead to the city, and they opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Again, that was the wicked people, even though they claimed to believe in God. Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Remember earlier in verse 5, it said the church was making fervent prayers for him? Well, that's right. And where was this church gathered? At the house of Mark, or the house of Mary, who is the mother of Mark. Verse 13, when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And of course, she didn't recognize, she ran away, and Peter continued to knock. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. Verse 17, but motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison and said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And then he left and went to another place, right, to another home, because not all the people were in one home. They met in different homes. And so, again, you had the people that were meeting in the homes. That's where the church was meeting. And so that's, you know, pretty much Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 19, as you look at that story. We really just covered 1 through 16. The next passage I want to turn to is actually in Acts chapter 16. Now, in Acts chapter 16, here you have a couple examples. You know, Jesus, or not Jesus, but Paul, who was in a prison another time when he was arrested. And this was when there was an earthquake and the cell doors opened and the jailer was startled because he thought everybody escaped. And so in verse 27 of chapter 16, it says, when the jailer awoke, he saw the prison doors opened. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." He called for lights, and they rushed in, trembling with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all your household." So they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house, because they went to his house, and that's where he witnessed to them. And it says he took them that very hour that night and washed their wounds. Immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with all his whole household. And they broke bread together. And look at that. Another example of here, another church being started in someone's home, in a meeting, in a gathering. They didn't go to some local temple. Well, let's go meet at the church and evangelize, you know, tell you about God and let's break bread there. No, it was, the focus was in people's homes. Continuing in Acts chapter 16. As I keep going down. Verse 40. So here in verse 40, it says they went out of the prison and entered. And this is actually later in chapter 16. So, you know, Paul continued to be pursued. And this was after the magistrate went to release Paul. They didn't realize that they were Romans. And Paul says, no, we're Romans. And so then they got afraid and they were begging him to leave the city. And so in verse 40, it says, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them, and then they departed. So that's when they were still in the city. I believe this was Philippi that they were at. And so again, when they went to the house of Lydia to encourage the brethren, that's where they went, to her house, because that's where they were gathered. That's where they were meeting. That was the place where they met. Remember, the true temple of the Lord, we are now the temple of the Lord. God dwells in us. Wherever we are, we worship him where we are. And we don't go and try to prepare buildings of man to maintain. God's not seeking to build buildings on this earth. No, we fellowship where we are with the homes that God has already given us, so that we don't have any additional burdens, but that the income or extra income can be used to help the needy, help those that are in need, not to just indulge it on buildings and other things. Nope, you aren't going to see that. You're not going to see that. You aren't going to see collecting offerings for paying for buildings. Nope, it's for people. It's to help people. In Acts chapter 17, looking at verse 5 through verse 6. And so this is when they went off to Thessalonica. And again, they did go to the Sabbath, not to fellowship there, but to reason with them, trying to explain to them that they were wrong. You see that in chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, where they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, verse 2, and according to Paul's custom, right, because this is typically what he did when he went to the cities, he would go to them for three Sabbaths and reason with them from the scripture. So yeah, he would go to the synagogue of the Jews, not to go and fellowship and worship God, but to go and rebuke them and to reason with them, explaining in verse 3 and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying that this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. Verse 4, some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. Why would he be doing that? Because they only went to the synagogues to rebuke them and to reason with them. But again, when they would meet and they would fellowship, they were at people's houses. It's like that's where Paul, when he was going, when he was Saul, when he was off to persecute and kill the church, he would go house to house to drag them out, because that's where you find them. And when they did not find them, because they were looking for them, they began dragging Jason out and some brethren before the city authorities, because there were other brothers meeting in the house. That's where they met. And they go and accuse them of, these men who have upset the whole world have also come here also. Next passage I want to go and look at is in Acts chapter 20. So turning over to Acts chapter 20, and this is when they went off and they went over to Greece, and then they went back to Asia Minor, Troas and Ephesus. And here in verse 17, to verse 20. Let's read that. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So yeah, the elders of Ephesus report to him. And then when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, you know, the false church. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly from house to house. Because for those who had fellowship, that's where they would go. Now, for when they would evangelize, they would go from synagogue to synagogue primarily. The false synagogues of Satan. But when they were teaching the brethren and the elders, they went from house to house. Because that's where they were meeting. He didn't say go from church building to church building. Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether he was meeting with Jews or Greeks or a combination, he met and taught them from house to house. In Romans chapter 16, at the end, when he's closing out the book, after he went through and did a lot of great teaching on some of the foundational principles of what it means to be free from sin. So that's why Jesus came, so that we could be now slaves of righteousness, having sin destroyed and put to death. So when he gets to the end of chapter 16, he gives acknowledgement. And in verse 3 through verse 5, he says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only you do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." So, in verse 5, it says, "Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia." And he goes on, he acknowledges other people. But notice, he talks about greeting them and the church that is in their house. Again, you see this repeated. Now, also, since I'm here, I want to point out something else. We've done episodes on, and we've just discussed different spiritual gifts, and they're still given. And one of the things that is still given are apostleship. Apostles are those that are responsible to plant various churches. In verse 7, he says, "And greet Andronicus and Junias, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." And so here, again, God calls other people, and he gives gifts, and he chooses, and he continues to give apostles so that they can continue to plant and start churches. And, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, no, there were only 12 apostles." No, that's not true. That's a lie. And there's other evidences of that. I'm not going to go into that today, but because I was right here, right in front of it, I figured I would go ahead and point that out. So again, here you see in Romans, again, chapter 16, as we look, verse 3 through 5, you have that truth where they met in the houses. Again, over in 1 Corinthians, when you get to the end of 1 Corinthians, when he's writing the letter to Corinth, and he gets to the end of acknowledgement in chapter 16, you have, again, reference to those meeting in houses. So in verse 19, he says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Again, acknowledging how they met. In Colossians, you have, again, the same mention. So turning to Colossians chapter 4 at the end. Now, even though this letter was written to the Colossians, I think also when you read through it, he says, you know, make sure you read this letter in other places too. And he mentions, I believe, Laodicea. And here he also mentions it. He says in verse 15, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you..." So in Philemon, just the one chapter. So in verse 1 and verse 2, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and Athea, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've covered several different passages today. You can see where they met. God did not burden the church with a building. As a matter of fact, he did away with it. He destroyed the building of man in the original temple. And now we are to be the temple. We are the dwelling where we are. We're not to be burdened and pour our finances or resources into buildings that are going to burn with fire, but into the souls of men and to help those who are in need. This is what you see in the church of Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is consistent. I pray, O God, that your word and your spirit will convict people. They will see the model of how they do church today and where they meet is not biblical anymore. Unless they want to do and follow the works of the law, like those who had stubborn and rebellious hearts that never found you, but were continued to be destroyed. Father, I thank you that we don't have to be burdened, and we can meet with people in our homes, rejoicing and having fellowship with the saints, and glorifying you in our bodies. I thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.